This feature has been brought to you by Slot Foundation, which needs your support to continue projects like these. Information on this recording and access to other recordings is available online at slot.org.
So, hello. I'm Eduardo Cadava. I know many of you, but for those of you who don't know me, I'm Eduardo Cadava. And I'd like to thank all of you for being here this evening. This is a very special event, I think, and I want to thank Aaron Levy and the Slot Foundation for helping to make this exhibition and event possible. I also want to thank Princeton University, and in particular, the Program in Latin American Studies, the Department of Spanish and Portuguese Languages and Cultures, and the Council for International Teaching and Research for their kind support of this project. We're very honored to have the photographers and artists who participated in this project with us, a project which has now expanded to include many other photographers, artists, and writers. But we wish to thank Marcelo Brodsky from Argentina, right here, you can raise your hand. Okay. Manel Esclusa from Spain, Horst Hoheisel, Germany, Pablo Ortiz Monasterio, Mexico, Martin Parr, England, and Cassio Vasconcelos from Brazil. For their presence here. We're very grateful. The exhibition and symposium has been organized in conjunction with a three-year research initiative directed by Gabriela Nuzé, the chair of Spanish and Portuguese at Princeton, who will help with some of the translation, and me, and entitled The Itinerant Languages of Photography. The project will host a companion workshop at 4:30 tomorrow at Princeton University, to which you're all invited. Visual Correspondences also serves as the basis for a community-based workshop that invites teenage students from South Philadelphia High School to engage in a related series of artistic interventions. And we're pleased to have Nina Pathak, one of the two teachers overseeing this workshop with us today. And actually, Nina, that was the extra chair. It was for Nina. Yes. And we also have some of the students who are involved in that project as well. Maybe you can stand up and everyone can see Rosa and Jasmine here. Visual Correspondences was first initiated by Marcelo Brodsky and Manel Esclusa. Using the internet as a means of delivery, Brodsky sent a photograph to Manel, who in turn responded with another photograph. In this way, a correspondence ensued in which each photographer would respond to the other's last image, poetically, playfully, and intuitively combining the chance of a ready-made with the complexity of photographic memory and production. The correspondence grew to include other photographers and artists, and the first five correspondences between Brodsky and the five photographers and artists with us today were presented in Buenos Aires in May 2009, and Slot's presentation is the first exhibition of these works in North America. As a transnational multimedia series of correspondences, the project raises questions of agency, communication, and correspondence, questions about the relation between the visual and the linguistic realms, and about the itinerancy of images in general. What is a dialogue or correspondence? What happens when these take place in relation to images and photographs? What happens if, when I send an image to another, the other responds to me? How do we understand what happens if the response is not made of words, but takes the form of a new image? What happens, in other words, when the ritual of sending images is superimposed onto that of the epistolary exchange? Is it possible to believe that the photographer who signs the first image is the same one who signs the exchange's third one? Or that the one who signs the second one is the same as the one who signs the correspondence's fourth one? Or is it that each sending from the other alters our way of seeing things? To what do we respond when we respond to a sending? To what we imagine as the "I wish to say" that comes from the other? Is there a first sending, a first word, or a first image? Or is it that we always begin in the middle of a conversation, interrupting the murmuring of signs that speak for us, even when we do not expect it, and sometimes when we do not even imagine it? Perhaps the very idea of correspondence is a chimera. What these correspondences suggest is that every letter is always sent from its destination. It could not be sent without this relation to its destination. Insofar as the sender is the effect of having been addressed, the sender is always already the receiver. Nothing can be sent if something has not already been received. Just as there is no first trace, there is also no first letter. Instead, both the sender and the recipient are determined and positioned by the relationship of addressing, which produces them and ties them to one another, even as it separates them from each other and takes its point of departure from their differences. This is precisely the case when, as in the photographs that compose these correspondencias visuales, the photographers who here send photographs or drawings to one another respond to the other in relation to, among other things, the history of their relationships, what each of them already knows of the other's work, and the history of their own photographic or artistic work, which, as we will see, is never simply theirs. What makes the correspondence between Brodsky and Exclusive possible, for example? What happens when Brodsky goes to Spain in the early 80s and begins to study photography with the Catalonian photographer Exclusa? In what way does their respective photographic practice change because of this encounter? Can the photographs that either one produces after this encounter continue to belong to a specific national perspective or tradition, or does the very fact of the encounter influence or alter the way in which each of them views the world, or views a particular detail or set of details of the world? Does such influence subsequently prevent their practice from being identified solely with this or that particular national photographic practice or history? Does Brodsky's photographic practice, in other words, become less Argentinian because it is partially formed through a Catalonian lens? And what happens when such influences involve more than one other country? This question is relevant to any photographer who has a sense of the history of photography, since that sense inevitably will inform the pictures that he or she takes. How does photographic influence affect the way in which we understand a photograph's provenance? How can we begin to describe the life and afterlife of photographs as they get circulated and inserted into different contexts? What do these questions about influence suggest about a practice of citationality within photography that has its counterpart in textual practices, and how do visual and linguistic languages relate to or differ from one another? These questions form the background to the correspondence they initiate over 20 years later, and this is why we're witnessing a series of correspondences that already have begun, even before the first photograph is ever sent. This is also why I would suggest this exhibition is not simply a presentation of work by six international photographers and artists, but a means of exploring several questions at the heart of contemporary artistic practices. I would like to ask each of the participants in this project to speak for about 5 minutes each about their experiences in the project and about what they view as its significance for them, but also for thinking of photography, correspondence, and agency in general. I also will ask Nina Pathak to offer a brief description about the community-based workshop she's been co-directing with Kate Mollison and that has included students from the South Philadelphia High School, as I said, a few of whom are with us tonight. I'm going to now turn the stage over to Marcelo Brodsky, who perhaps can begin by telling us a bit about how and why he initiated the project. But please help me welcome these artists and photographers to SLOT.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to be together. And to share this foundation. We've had the experience also of sharing the John Cage art piece by participating in it, which was a very unexpected development of this particular exhibition, and the ideas that were expressed in that John Cage piece were related to this exhibition. Therefore, as well as the correspondences are in permanent change with new images, new people to have a dialogue with, in this case, they have become an opening door for a sound piece, which is what is interesting about the art practice, the fact that you really do not know what will happen next. And that's particularly interesting also in the visual correspondences, since we are not able to answer or to create or to show our next card until we receive the one from our partner. Creative process is then not entirely self of one with his own viewing or vision or way of seeing, but it needs to wait until the other photographer or the other artist decide what to talk about and what road to open with their image. In this way, the artwork becomes a group work. There is a sharing in the experience of visual action. It is not individual, it is in a group, in a way, shared. This also adds another element, because when the viewer comes, in this case you, the ones that have come to this show to see what happens with the visual dialogues, you have a chance to participate in them by looking for the connection and the relationship between the images that are being shown and what happened, what triggered the response, what is happening with the image. This is a practice that more and more people are now having, sending each other images. This is very simple now. We all have the ability to send an image, shoot it, send it immediately on the phone. But what can we do with this image? What are we talking about? What will we talk about? Will this only be a permanent, let's say, self-portrait, an extended self-portraiture, and we will only talk about ourselves? Or there is a chance to see the world and somehow sharing it with another and invite him to share it with his own vision. As visual culture practitioners that we are, as photographers that have studied and seen and followed the history of photography since its very creation 160 years ago until now, and our practice is a consequence of that history and of that culture, we believe that we can add an element to this practice of exchanging images and making them more complex, more visually attractive, and make everyone that is sending an image to another think, what is he doing by that? What is he seeing? What is he conveying? What is the dialogue that is a consequence of this submission? Then the visual practice of sending an image to each other becomes an opportunity to develop your own visual culture and your own way of seeing, and that makes the practice far more interesting than a self-portrait.
Do you want to start from left to right? Or? Yes, yes, of course, says yes.
Me next?
Yes.
All right, oh, good. Well, it's always fun to be part of the Marcela Brodsky Roadshow, I have to say this. This is the first thing that's important, because I've known Marcelo for many years, and he's basically a fun guy. And that's really one of the fundamental things that's made being part of this project so interesting. So as I know we're going to get people giving their take on this project, I thought I'd take a little distraction and think about the nature of most of the photography that we see and why this exhibition, and indeed the photography we know in the art world, is so different to most of the photography. Because we're surrounded by photography in this world, and most of the photography that we see is like a form of propaganda, and we all understand the basic notion that we see an image that's an advert that's trying to sell us a product. Okay, we also see pictures in the newspaper that deal with, of course, big events, and then we see things like the travel pages and the cookery pages. We have to remember that the purpose of travel photography in newspapers, when they talk about how pleasant a city like Buenos Aires is to get us to go there, you know, because the purpose, of course, is to sell travel advertising. And also I would suggest that one thing perhaps interesting is the family album, which is, if you like, you know, one of the core elements that we have in terms of our own photographic language. We've all got photographic albums, although, of course, with the internet, our albums are likely to not survive because people don't print out albums now because everything is done digitally. So we have them on our phones, on our computers, and the likelihood is that these will be lost. So that's one thing. That's another issue, is the demise of the family album. But one of the interesting things about the family album is that this too, I would suggest, is a form of propaganda, because it's not so much to do with the notion of recording what actually does happen in your family. It's the notion of trying to sort of give the impression that the family is the ideal unit, because most photographs show people that are smiling, everyone looks really happy, and in fact you have to remember that this is almost like a form of lies, because it's not the purpose of the family album to show really what happens if your baby cries, which is a natural part of having a baby. You mustn't show that. You have to show them smiling in front of their birthday cake, etc. So why this is interesting, this project, is that the very basis of the pictures that we're looking at is not because we're trying to sell something, because even if you go into an art gallery, you're almost, you have a photographer's vision that they're trying to impress on you, is because we are suddenly thrown into this situation where the understanding of this project and its success is the connection between the dialogue that Marcelo has with his fellow partners in this project. So we're immediately thrown by having to think about these photographs in a different way. And that's what makes this so refreshing, because we're not actually being sold anything. We're having to examine the photographs on a very different level. And why I want to talk about this notion of propaganda is because we must understand how much of the photography that we see is basically to do with the untruth of the world. You know, it's about a different version. It's about constantly selling, if not a product, an image. So this is what makes this project so unique, is because we have to think about photography in a different way. And that, I would suggest, is why this is such a useful and entertaining and revealing exercise. Thank you, Marcelo, for initiating this wonderful project.
Manel?
Bueno, primero siento tener que necesitar a alguien que me traduzca, porque mi inglés es casi nulo y es difícil poder expresar cuando no conoces un idioma.
Más cerca.
Vale.
I'm sorry. I cannot speak in English. My English is very bad.
Well, ¿cuál es mi experiencia respecto a nuestras correspondencias con Marcelo? Una de las primeras conclusiones que he llegado es que nuestra comunicación con las correspondencias visuales pertenece más a un mundo de comunicación de percepción.
Igual.
De percepción. Es decir, nos comunicamos solamente por percepción visual. Lo digo esto porque.
Okay. So that the first conclusion I have reached through participating in this project is that the kind of communication we are realizing has to do with perception.
Porque la fotografía es percepción.
Because photography is perception.
Aunque a veces utilizamos palabras como leer una imagen, pero en realidad una fotografía no la leemos, la percibimos.
Yeah, even if we say that we are reading an image, actually we are perceiving an image.
La interpretamos.
We are interpreting an image.
Y la transformamos en palabras.
And then we translate it into words.
Antes de que empezara nuestra correspondencia con Marcelo, estaba haciendo una, o estoy haciendo una correspondencia con poetas.
Before I started this correspondence with Marcelo, I was doing and I'm still doing a correspondence with poets.
Es decir, palabra con imagen.
Words and pictures.
Y es otra cosa.
And that's very different.
Del poema, que es lo que creo yo, la poesía se acerca más a la imagen, en el mundo de la palabra.
The poetry will be the closest thing to the image.
Uno tiene que sintetizarlo visualmente hasta conseguir aquella imagen que permite que tú puedas responder con otra imagen.
You had to synthesize, or you had to summarize what you want to say in order to respond to another image.
En cambio, cuando empezamos a utilizar las correspondencias visuales, es una imagen que nosotros respondemos con otra imagen en la que interpretamos a partir o solamente por la parte formal de esta imagen.
So in the case of this visual correspondence, we had to respond with an image to another image.
O quizás por aquellos elementos que forman la imagen y que nosotros interpretamos simbólicamente a través de nuestra propia cultura, cuál es su significado que nosotros interpretamos o damos.
Well, then we can pay attention to composition or to the meaning, the cultural meaning of the image, of the visual elements in the picture.
Me gustaría poder ilustrar esta dificultad que hay, que se produce entre palabra e imagen.
I would like to illustrate the difficulty of translating images into words.
Ya que estamos en un espacio donde hay una presencia de John Cage, donde la palabra es música.
Since we are in a space that where we have the presence of John Cage, where music is language music.
Me permito leerles la última correspondencia que he recibido del poeta catalán.
I'm going to read the text that I have, the last text I have received, the last message I have received from a Catalonian poet.
Es decir, con mi lengua materna.
In my mother tongue.
Que primero será en catalán, después haré una traducción en castellano para que a la vez pueda ser traducida en inglés.
First I'll read in catalán and then in Spanish.
Y que podremos llegar a la conclusión de que toda traducción es una traición.
And then we can reach the conclusion that the translation is
o que toda traducción es creación.
Or that every translation is creation.
Allò tràgic sovint ho és perquè la pròpia consciència de ser-ho. Allò poètic, doncs, ha de ser inconscient de la seva naturalesa. Per altra banda, allò còmic, quan és conscient de la seva comicitat, la perd tota i esdevé patètic. Este és un poeta que se llama Víctor Suñol.
This is a poet called Víctor Suñol.
La traducció libre en espanyol.
The free translation would be...
és aquello trágico.
Oh my goodness. that is tragic.
A menudo lo es por la propia consciencia de serlo.
Often it is tragic because of the own consciousness of being so.
Aquello poético, pues, tiene que ser inconsciente de su propia naturaleza.
That is really poetic has to be unconscious of his own, unaware of his own nature.
Por otro lado,
on the other hand,
aquello cómico,
that is comic,
cuando es consciente de su comicidad,
when is aware of his comicity, can you say that? Comicity.
La pierde,
he loses it,
y se vuelve patética.
And then it becomes pathetic.
Bueno, ¿se imaginan a ustedes qué imagen puedo yo enviarle como correspondencia a está enunciado?
Try to imagine what kind of image I can send as a response to this poem.
Quiero decir que la comunicación visual es
visual communication.
Es una comunicación que hacer a través de la percepción es mucho más rápida y mucho más intuitiva.
That means that visual communication through images is much faster and intuitive.
Y que seguramente en el momento en que nosotros estamos pensando con qué imagen vamos a contestar,
and at the very moment when I'm thinking about what kind of image I'm going to use to respond,
nuestro cerebro ya lo tiene decidido hace ya bastante tiempo.
Our brain has already decided for a long time.
Muchas gracias.
Thank you. Pablo.
So, good evening. Thank you for inviting me to be here. I'm delighted. I would like to share with you a little thought, a preoccupation I have by doing this project. Working with Marcelo, as Martin Parth just said, is a lot of fun. There is an energy to it, and it's great. So when he invited me, I said immediately, yes, of course, let's do it, without really knowing what was going to happen. But now that we did it for a certain period of time, it was actually a lot of fun. And what happens is, you know, he said, let's have a visual dialogue. Let's talk in images. So I said, yes, great, let's do it, Marcelo. So, you know, he sent me this first picture, and I had to react to it, so I did, and we kept on going. But now that I see it back, and I see it in the walls, and I see it in books, because there are several books that had been produced with this work, I realize that what we really did was to create a communication, a dialogue between images. It's not so much that my friend Marcelo and I are talking, which in a way we did and we corresponded, but it is a system that is created, a way of reading, a way of looking at the photographs in which you know that this photograph is related to previous one. So it's giving you a formula on how to see those images, how to relate to them, and it's forcing you to create a link between the two that in a normal situation you wouldn't bother to do that. But because this is the structure of the work, then the viewer actually goes back and say, why did he answer that in a way? For example, I have it right in front of me this picture, this drawing, because it's quite interesting that among us, there is a friend, Horst, from Germany, that he's not a photographer, he's a painter, he's a drawer, how do you say? What are you? A great artist and a fan and a wonderful man, you know? So,
creative,
you know,
human being.
Creative human being. I like your definition. So he answered out of a piece of wood that is kind of a root. He read a deer there. So he drew a deer. And then Marcelo reacted with a reflex. It's not really a shadow, but there is water. It's a reflection. There is water on the floor. So there is very little. But then at the end, I have to find a connection with the previous image. And there is, at least for me, that's the important thing. It's the viewer that really creates the connection. It's the viewer that creates the conversation. The conversation goes on in the viewer's mind, not so much between us, but in the viewer's mind. So there's a little thing at the end of that reflection that somehow links to that, to the horns of the deer. So then suddenly I'm reading in a reflection or in a shadow of someone that has something related to a deer. So there is a novelty to that image that obviously in Marcelo's, in the reflection, it wasn't. But because it is this formula that it's created and forces us to read in such a way, we start finding new meanings that weren't necessarily in each individual image. So by creating this process, Marcelo is inviting us to create a discourse that wasn't in the single pictures, but it is, in a way, created by the viewer and in the sequence of the group. So I thought that going back to what I just heard Marcelo talking to Cage about education, about how we can read, because reading is really wonderful when it takes you, not only you understand the literal sense of each word, but suddenly a whole universe is created, and there are new things that you are adding to that and creating a sense. So that, in a way, happens with this group of pictures that I find is interesting, and it's also important in terms of education, you know, because one should, one can see images and simply, yes, I like it, I react positively to it, or no, I don't like it, it's not, whatever. But this goes beyond, and it's not that there are good or bad pictures. They work when they relate very clearly. Sometimes conversations get obscure, and it's difficult to read what's the connection. And then it comes these cultural things, because from the Argentinian point of view and the Mexican point of view, we can have different readings of the thing. And that is also interesting, when suddenly the images are kind of not clearly linked. So these things talks about, you know, local cultures, universal cultures in terms of images. So there are a lot of threads to it that I found very interesting, and I'm very pleased to thank my friend Marcelo to have invited me to share him in this wonderful experience. Thank you.
Hello, good evening. Thanks for coming. And sorry about my English, it's not so easy for me to speak in English. Anyway, it was a very pleasant experience doing this dialogue. I mean, this is my perfect word if I dialogue with images. I prefer than text and speech. So this is a really a good experience. I learned a lot. Not just with new images that I did, but with the friendship with Marcelo. It's a very good way to know better our friends, because it's a really different communication. We talk each other many times, but this dialogue bring us different thoughts, different feelings about our relation, and this is one point very interesting. The other is we did it with no pretensions. Pretensions. It was not to do a book, exhibition, to sell, nothing. It's just a conversation. It goes very... It flows very well. And it's interesting when we receive the image, the process to think what we will answer, and then after we send the image, sure, the big curiosity to wait the answer. Oh, what Marcelo will answer me now? What will we see? That's it. It's a interesting thing. Also to know why we are taking so many pictures in the world. Everybody is taking picture, 1,000 billions of pictures. At least I know that it's useful to talk each other. That's one thing. And Marcelo, when you started this, was a friend. Now I can say it's a great friend.
Yes, thank you, Marcelo. Thank you for the invitation. Now I have a problem to speak as the last. My English is very bad, so all the friends have already had their statements, and what should I tell you? But I think something is wrong here. We have an exhibition, visual correspondences, and we are talking here. I think we have a visual correspondence. Here we are sitting, and there is the auditorium. Is this a visual correspondence? Two images. Every image plays its role. And so we could continue the dialogue with the situation here. But I prepared something to talk to you too. And let's see, yes, about my dialogue with Marcello. It's, of course, it's also a dialogue between two different media, between drawing and photograph. So it is a bit different from the other dialogues. And also drawing has to do with handwriting, with writing, handwriting, with writing a letter. So, and I draw many drawings, letters, and throw them away as you do it in a correspondence when you say, no, that's not right, I have to start anew. That was for me a big problem, and sometimes I threw so many drawings in the away that Marcello wrote me, now it's 2 months over, you have to answer me. And so, yes, that was our dialogue. But I think we have the photographs, the drawings, the photograph and the photograph, but the real or the most important space is the space between the photographs or between the photograph and the drawing. Because the most important in a dialogue are the emotions and the images, the pictures, in the in-between. And here comes also the spectator in. He brings, as you tell, he brings his pictures, his images in the dialogue. And I am wondering how the spectator will interpret our dialogue, because I know Marcello since many years, and I know his family, his children, I know his background, and our friendship comes in, and the viewer doesn't know all this. And so I am not sure how the dialogue, the correspondence works for the viewer, but I think that is a very interesting part of an exhibition, of every kind of exhibition. Yes, thanks.
So before opening it up to the audience, I just want to ask Nina to tell us a little bit about the community workshop that she's been co-organizing, and which is linked and takes its point of departure from this project.
Well, because, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Because this project was about the itinerancy of images, and another teacher at South Philly High School, Kate Mollison, and I thought it would be interesting to look at the itinerancy of images in a smaller context. This project focused on the itinerancy across cultures and countries, and we thought it would be interesting to look into that, like, is there that same room for nuance and interpretation in images from students at the same high school? So we had 6 students in our group, and we started with images that were familiar to us in our everyday lives, like advertisements and Facebook and cell phone pictures and twit pics and all that kind of, those kinds of images that we use every day. And we started to talk about the moods and the messages that come across through those pictures. And when Kate and I pitched the game idea, Marcello's game idea, of a dialogue through images, students immediately had so many ideas about to what we respond when we respond to an image with an image. So, for instance, we put a picture on a PowerPoint of an alarm clock and had students respond, what kind of image would you respond to this alarm clock with? And one student said, you know, I'd take a picture of a middle finger. And then we talked about what kind of message are you trying to get across when you're responding to an alarm clock with a middle finger. So students talked about not wanting to wake up in the morning for school, or what kind of mood comes across when you see someone sticking up their middle finger. We created a structure of submitting these pictures, and that helped create a process that students could stick to so that they could see how their dialogues developed over the course of a few months. And it was really important to create a safe space to do this, a safe space where students could talk about their ideas and not feel afraid to be wrong. Because right now what's happening in the school district of Philadelphia is a lot of art classes are being cut. There's a big increase in standardized testing. This idea of right and wrong is taking precedence over any kind of inquiry or any kind of exploration of ideas. And so it's really frustrating because as teachers, we're expected to design curriculum that tells students at the beginning of each lesson, you are going to learn this. Students will be able to identify and define theme and metaphor. But that joy of discovery, of inquiry, of curiosity is taken away entirely from the lesson when you just tell students, this is a definition you need to know, and you know, this is how you can identify it in this story, and we're all going to come up with the same answer. And so I think what this Visual Correspondences Project did for us was create a space where that right-wrong binary was gone, and students didn't know what they would learn by the end of the lesson. And so they were able to really engage their own ingenuous curiosity in images and in photos, and turn that ingenuous curiosity into epistemological curiosity, something that, you know, they could interpret and deconstruct and reconstruct together.
Did you find that the responses were more or less consistent with the people that you knew?
Right. So in my own case, I have 20,000 pictures online, and I guess when Marcella would send me a picture, I would think for a while and then try and look at some of the pictures that I knew. There'd be a connection that would be triggered, and I'd then have a little short list of things. Or very often I would know immediately the picture I wanted to send back, because it's weird having a lot of pictures. I've been a photographer for 40 years, and you accumulate these pictures, and sometimes you can conjure back a picture that is in your past, it's part of your history, and suddenly it'll have a role to play. So it's quite nice. So it was a chance for me to discover and think about pictures I wouldn't often or normally use. And in terms of that's part one, right? Part two answer is, I mean, remember, we are only doing one correspondence. We have one correspondence, that's Marcello, right? We then get the pleasure of sharing other people's. Marcello, as you've already probably gathered, despite him being quite quiet tonight, is a very bubbly, effervescent character. And he loves to surprise. I guess the big thing that's good is that, you know, he's a very busy guy. He runs a stock agency, he's a publisher, I mean, he produces books, and, you know, suddenly he comes up with all these pictures. I don't know where he gets them from or how he has time to take them. That was the thing that surprised me, is he had such a backlog of images that he was able to use. I don't know whether he took them specially or whether he too used his back catalogue, if you like. So that for me was a surprising part. Where does he get all these pictures from? Perhaps they're not his, perhaps they're Latin stock photos, who knows?
Well, there is a relationship, to answer first to Martin's inquiry, between the photographer and his own file and his own production of images along the life. Many of those images end up in the folders, in the cupboards, are never used because they are not part of a project that can be made as a book and ask for funding and become an exhibition or a touring show. Most of the pictures we do not end in such a, let's say, shining end. Most of them go and stay in that folder. Then this possibility takes us back to what we've done and give them another use and another opportunity for them to become a phoem, a poem or a word, an exchange with another. Then they have an extremely high value. They become part of a conversation, of a construction of meaning. On the other hand, in fact, many of the pictures are not in the file, so answering is the opportunity to shoot them, to create them, and to go out to the world and see, okay, I have to answer this. What is the part of the reality that enables me to do so? It is not clear and it is not constant for everyone how he chooses what to talk with, as it is not somehow easy to anticipate which words you will use and how you will use one word or another. It's probably related with your own background and with your own experience. And in the case of the visual realm, with your own way of seeing and with what you've seen along life, and all this remains in the case of us, the photographers, which I believe it's in a way privileged because we've been able to record with our cameras most of our lives, and that makes those moments in a way able to be rescued and to have another function. These images, these little diamonds of our life, have become a word and a meaning to send to someone. This is very interesting. On the other hand, concerning the surprise, there is always a surprise in the visual exchange. You never know what the answer will be, and that's what's nice about it, because in most of exchanges, particularly in the ones that are related to work, study, profession, business, you more or less know what you will expect from the other. And that doesn't happen in photography. You don't know, particularly with Martin, for instance. I never knew. At the beginning, I thought that the images had no relationship whatsoever at the beginning. In fact, he answered me with a fried egg, and I had started with a group of fish. So what was the relationship? Probably there was no relationship, and that's how we started. It's a good beginning, because suddenly it started changing, and all of a sudden it was humorous, ironic. In a way, you have to adapt to the other's discourse. I have to say that Martin is also funny. So, also, he's also funny. I mean, he says I'm fun. I say he's funny in a way. So we are sharing fun. That's why our discussion, our conversation is somehow humorous. In other cases, we share other issues, other values, other experiences. And that is somehow shown in the conversations or shows up, and that opens up to the viewer its own experience of the interpretation and makes it interesting. Each case, each dialogue is totally different from the other one, as every conversation or relationship with a friend, with a son or daughter, or with a lover is totally different from the other one.
Cuando empezamos las correspondencias, Marcelo y yo, que fuimos los primeros, me acuerdo.
We started the correspondence. Marcelo and I started the correspondence.
No teníamos ni idea de qué es lo que pasaría y hacia dónde iría.
We had no idea where it would go or where we would.
Estábamos y y me acuerdo que al cabo de dos o tres imágenes que nos habíamos enviado,
and after two or three exchanging
Marcelo,
two or three images,
que en principio las imágenes se habían hecho expresamente para contestar.
At the beginning we made the images
with the intention of responding.
Marcelo me preguntó por correo.
Marcelo,
¿podemos utilizar imágenes de archivo?
Marcelo asked me, can we use images from our archives?
Y yo le contesté, podemos utilizar pescado fresco y pescado congelado.
We can use fresh fish and, ¿sí?, and frozen fish.
Y pienso que esto es importante por lo que decía del archivo, porque en menos en mi caso, todas las imágenes que hay seguramente nunca o difícilmente las hubiese mostrado.
This is very important in my case because in both cases the images I use were images that I wouldn't have used.
Y la dificultad a veces de contestar con una imagen en la que no te acuerdas si está en un archivo, puedo poner un ejemplo de que cuando Marcelo me envió una imagen con agua,
I can use as an example one time when Marcelo sent me an image with water.
Yo me la noche misma me iba al desierto de Sahara.
That very night I was going to the desert of the Sahara desert.
Y cuando estaba en las dunas,
dunes,
rodeado de dunas,
surrounded by sand,
en los campamentos de refugiados saharauis, donde el agua es, no hay, y es, solamente
no water,
pueden llegar por camiones,
the water is brought with tracks,
me vi rodeado de un mar de agua, perdón, un mar de arena.
I was surrounded by an ocean of sand.
Y le contesté con una imagen de un mar de arena, con las palabras escritas en la arena, agua.
Sand,
pero la mayoría de las fotografías son imágenes recuperadas de archivo que nos permiten mostrar lo que he dicho antes, mostrar aquello que seguramente nunca, son imágenes latentes que nunca verían la luz si no fuera por las correspondencias.
Yeah, in most cases, the images I use were images from our from my archive, images that I would have not used unless I had this exchange.
Y que es, habiendo hecho muchas más correspondencias ya posteriormente, esta, la correspondencia entre Marcelo y yo, estoy convencidísimo que es la correspondencia donde hay una carga emocional más intensa, seguramente nunca superada por otras correspondencias.
And after having done many other correspondences, I think that the first one Marcelo and I did was the most emotional or emotionally charged.
Pablo,
I would like to precisely this example on writing on the sand something that he needed. So there were, you stated two possibilities, either the archive or take another photograph. I myself, at certain points, having to answer to Marcelo, I was forced or I was invited to construct an image. So that's a third way in which you alter or you produce something so you can comment on what you had just received. So there are different ways of creating an image, sometimes even an archive photograph, but you would change it and produce work on it in a way to make an emphasis in certain areas that probably without the conversation you wouldn't have printed it or produced it like that, but because you need to communicate, you need to comment on whatever was behind, then you do it like that. You need an emphasis to guide, to create a communication that, again, I insist, is the two of us and you, the viewers.
There was a question in the back. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so I was just wondering, I assume that this was done by email?
Yes.
So I wonder how that was different for you that was drawing and then scanned the image.
Yes, I scanned the image and I sent the image, but for me, I got the photograph from Marcelo and it was then in my studio, laying on the desk where I draw, And from time to time, I looked on it, and then I got sometimes immediately an idea to respond, and sometimes it spent 1 or 2 months. It was a process.
Did any of you allow yourselves to take images that you did not make? I found images and responded to those instead of the images that you got in your archive because you make them.
I used at a certain point a photograph of Alvarez Bravo, but I didn't feel quite comfortable simply to take the photograph. So I pulled out a book because I was thinking when I saw Marcelo's, I somehow came to my mind Alvarez Bravo's shot. So what I did, I pulled out the book, I put my hand, I laid other stuff, because as we were doing it, I also learned that you don't only have to think in terms of what is behind, but you have to give elements so he can comment. And sometimes images are very close. And that happened in our dialogue. Suddenly we were repeating again and again. And that is, from my point of view, not good. So it's good if you can comment that, but then leave clues and leave elements so he can jump into it. So I could have used simply the Alvarez Bravo shot, but I knew him well, and he wouldn't have liked it. So I took the photograph of a book, so then there was not only the content of that image, but there was a book too, and it was my desk and some other elements that he could jump into.
These are the five first
correspondences of a series. Cassio is having other correspondences with other Brazilian photographers. Now I know that Pablo, without speaking about it, is inviting other photographers to have a dialogue. Manel certainly has this one with the difficult poet, another dialogues with other photographers. Martin probably will never again have any other dialogue.
I'm retired.
But there, in one of the other dialogues I have, because I have several more that I've been working on, because I believe that this is an ongoing research project, and this is doesn't finish in this show, but this is part of a process that we are all investigating together, that we didn't want it to become like a blog or something massive, but we are following new developments and new exchanges. In one of them, I got to have an exchange with Joachim Schmidt, whom Martin knows well, whom is a very interesting artist from Germany. He lives in Berlin. And I invited him, and we had the full correspondence. And it was very interesting, a bit different, some vomit, a lot of vomit in that correspondence. But from any other perception at my end, it was just as any other. But when I finished it and we went to do our blurb book with that correspondence, I got to know that, as in many other of Joachim Schmidt's work, all these images were taken from the internet. And I didn't get to know it until he told me, because for me it was a normal correspondence. But he uses images of others and adds to them an extra meaning, and that has been what he has been doing for 20 years in different ways.
I just want to tell you something about this because, for a very big show that is happening this summer in Arles. Arles is the biggest photography festival in the world. It's the most established, and it's a fantastic event. You should all come. July the 4th is the opening. You're all invited, okay? But along with Joachim Schmidt and three other curators, we are doing this very big show. It's one of the key exhibitions for Arles this summer. It's going to be called From Here On. And it's a new manifesto of artists and photographers who only use pictures, almost in every case, other people's, from the internet to produce different projects. So this is something that's been going on for many years now. Joachim Schmidt is a very good example of this. In this particular case, he's not going to use his own projects, but it's ones that he and this group of people are trawling the world looking for these people. We've got 36 artists. And it's a new generation of photographers who use the internet as their prime source of a way of finding pictures, locating them, producing exhibitions. It's going to be a very big new manifesto of a whole new generation of the way in which photography is operating. So There will be a catalog for this. There will be lots of stuff online. I don't expect you all to come from Philadelphia to Arles in the south of France, but if you do, you'd be most welcome. It'll be a very interesting show. Just wanted to tell you about that.
Most of these images are amazingly powerful, successful, and good. But I'd like to ask you whether there were moments when you felt you were failing in the dialogue, when it didn't work a little, to go back to your idea of the family album that eliminates the bad moments. Was that the result of a process of selection, or just you were very lucky in your combination?
May I?
Please.
I have the feeling that at certain points in our conversation, there are holes. There are, you know, communication becomes obscure. It's not clear, it's not easy, and I was afraid that I wasn't thinking that this was going to become public, but knowing him, that is only natural. So, you know, at certain points, I felt that was obscure, that the, you know, people will not understand why this image after that one. So that is probably because the way I am, and I like to... clarity. I like communication to flow, you know. So, and it was interesting because in a particular situation, he sent me out of, you know, I sent him. There was the hand. The we came from the snake, and then a man and a woman's hand. So from there, you know, Adam and Eve. So I sent him this foundational couple that it's a Mexican myth, you know, that related to the man-woman kind of thing. And there I was already being slightly obscure. From there, and I learned why he answered in that way, he sent me a rather strange photograph of a manifestation of people going outside in the streets in Buenos Aires, demanding or talking about the disappeared, no? So, for him, that photograph of the foundational copy, it was my ancestors. And so, for him, those photographs of the dead people were his ancestors too. I couldn't understand it then, you know, and I felt we were going too deep. So, when I saw the dead, I tried to create something that, so then I used the archive and I said, I want to emphasize, because for most viewers, there are just pictures in a piece of cloth, not necessarily that. If you don't know the Buenos Aires or the Argentinian history, you might not read it in such a way. So I put it next to that, you know, a coffin of my compadre Faustino that was being buried. So I wanted to emphasize the dead that I knew it was in his picture. So, you know, this process of trying to bring a rather obscure comment. So, you know, it went and go in different ways.
Way is a transcultural experience, every dialogue, even with your own brother, which in my case is one of the missing. Therefore, it's a particular dialogue that I've developed with my own work, not this one, but the previous work, although it comes back in some of the dialogues hidden in some of the pictures, which Pablo knows. The relationship between us as friends also is a relationship between us as identities. In a way, there is a particular relationship. Let's say, I am having multiple relationships here between Argentina and Mexico, for instance. There is the Argentmex, the immigration, the competition, the Argentinian jokes in Mexico, many things are the intellectuals that came and were accepted and finally ended up adding something to the Mexican culture who was accepted. And there is something positive as a cátedra Julio Cortázar in the UNAM and vice versa. And we have our Día de los Muertos in Buenos Aires and a big exchange. Similar thing we could say with Brazil, which is now our elder brother and pushing us a bit higher than we could ever reach on our own. It's a sophisticated, complex relationship. Nobody as Argentinians understand Brazilians. Nobody. We understand them. We know their music. We know their people. In fact, I am married to a Brazilian woman for 25 years, so I also know a bit more. But it's a very complex and diverse relationship that is only growing. We can say that Argentina and Germany have a relationship related with their traumatic past. There is a lot of exchange between Berlin and Buenos Aires, memory sites. In fact, I knew Horst when we both presented a project to the Documenta that included his crushed history experience in the Weimar and my unburied books from the dictatorship. We have been working together in Brazil and in Argentina in different memory projects. That's why we got together and we are now having this correspondence. With Spain, it's not necessary to tell about the relationship with Spain, not because only it's what we call the mother patria, which is something a bit confusing, but... Motherland or whatever, but because I was in exile in Spain for the dictatorship, and I'm Spanish. I have both nationalities. So when I'm in Spain, I'm Spanish, and I use my Spanish passport because they just don't open it, and the Argentinian is a bit of trouble. Okay, he says, clarifying that it's not Spanish, but Catalan, which I understand because I even speak his language because I live there. Therefore, there is an exchange. And with Britain and Argentina, between football and the Falklands and Malvinas, we have a rivalry, which in this case is again showing up. So there is always this, let's say, cultural thing that is embedded in the personal experience.
I think you have a question.
Well, in fact, there it's not about two people, but between three, because you, in this case, are the third one. That is a big difference, because in general, the relationship with a photograph is between two, between the photographer and, in this case, the viewer. In this case, it's three. When it's three, it's like N. It can become... But we don't like to open it up as a cadaver esquisse, would be like a continuity, because there is a relationship of this, let's say, game or this system with the history of art, contemporary art, because there are many experiences that collective works made, unearthed after the other. In the Dada movement, you made a drawing, but you left a few lines, and the following artist will take these lines and generate this, and at the end they will open it up and see what rested. This is not the case. It's not, like, say, a chain, which doesn't mean that somebody else may consider it that way. That's another experience. In fact, we are now having a chain. It's another kind of chain. It's this one, La Oriental. This is a camera that is passing from one hand to another between different photographers. We are taking 11 pictures each, and then they will be all shown together as part of a road movie, because this camera has already been in Chile, in Bolivia, in Mexico, in Argentina. Now it's here. It will go to EK with Martin. It's another way of, let's say, cadaver esquisse. In this case, we are more thinking of discussing the personal relationship, the relationship between two, which is unique, because, as a matter of fact, when you have a dialogue, it generally is with somebody else. When it's many more, it becomes too noisy to be understood in general. Therefore, this dual dialogue is what we've been doing and that we were trying to explore further. At this point, we haven't decided to multiply it into many counterparts because it would be very difficult to handle and to learn from it. Because in this process, we are learning. One of the things I've seen, I mean, when we get together in Princeton, we also learn, of course, at Princeton. We have to learn, otherwise, what are we coming for? So Pablo is learning from this process, and he is now having new experiences, and in these new experiences of visual exchange, he knows something more about how to answer and how to talk with images. Still, in the one-to-one exchange, there's a lot to discover.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.